Rainmaker FM.
This podcast is brought to you by copyblogger.com. Words that work. Build your online authority with powerfully effective content marketing. Get superior content marketing education so you can build a remarkable online presence. Head over to copyblogger.com to learn more. That's copyblogger.com. Hey there, it is so good to see you again. Welcome back to Copyblogger FM, the content marketing podcast. Copyblogger FM is about emerging content marketing trends, interesting disasters, and enduring best practices, along with the occasional rant. My name is Sonia Simoe, and I'm a co-founder and the chief content officer for Copyblogger Media. You can also find more of my writing and a complete archived podcast at remarkable-communication.com. So before I start out today, I want to let you know about a self-paced 30-day challenge that we are running on the Copyblogger blog. And if you would like to join us, find out more details, and also join our Facebook group where you can get some accountability and support, you can find all the details at copyblogger.com/boring-content-blues. Now, the easier way to get that link is just to point your browser to copyblogger.fm, and I'll include a link in the show notes. Or you could Google Boring Content Blues Copyblogger and it should pop right up. So today I wanted to talk about some lessons that I learned way back when I was in the corporate world about the value of sometimes zigging when other people zag, and more specifically about being called what some people call naive. So I was simply not very good at the corporate world. I was always kind of a problem child, and I used to get called naive like once a week at least. You know, I insisted on treating my employees like they were adults instead of like they were naughty children, and people called that naive. I was constantly on a mission to lighten up the very uptight, lawyer-crafted language that we used with our customers, and that was called naive. And I was even crazy enough to, once in a while, I would actually, you know, tell an uncomfortable truth in a meeting so we could fix some problems that could, you know, create some pretty significant challenges to the business. You know, that was very definitely naive. So the general consensus was that I was a bright girl, but I clearly had no head at all for business, which is exactly why I took off on my own. So right in the middle of an ugly international financial meltdown, I took the risk, and I kind of put that in air quotes, of going without guaranteed income. And I put it in quotes because my company and many companies were going through round after round of layoffs, so that guaranteed income was not so guaranteed. I decided I would tie my financial fortunes to my own efforts rather than, you know, senior executive team and a prestigious board of directors. So that led me to starting my company, Remarkable Communication. A few years after that, I joined forces with Brian Clark as a founding partner of Copyblogger Media. So it's worked out pretty well for me so far. But the more time I spend in business, the more I see that some of those kind of naive ideas that used to get me patted on the head when I was in corporate are actually a lot of times some of the best ways to make a company great. And I believe that that's true whether it's a company of one person or a company of 10,000 people. So today I thought I'd pick out a couple of principles of naivete that I learned over my career, both in corporate and then as a business owner. The first principle is that it's all invented. And I got this from Ben and Roz Zander's book, The Art of Possibility. I picked that book up right around when I was getting my first business started, and I have read it and reread it. It's one of those that you always get something new to take away. And the book starts with kind of a brain bender of a chapter called It's All Invented. So here's a quote. Every problem, every dilemma, every dead end we find ourselves facing in life only appears unsolvable inside a particular frame or point of view. Enlarge the box or create another frame around the data, and problems vanish while new opportunities appear. End quote. And one more quote from the Zanders. It's all invented anyway, so we might as well invent a story or a framework of meaning that enhances our quality of life and the life of those around us. End quote. So, you know, it always seems like this is a particularly good time, but I think it just keeps being a good time to walk through your business, almost like Alice in Wonderland. Really thinking about, could it be that the appropriate or sensible way to do things is nothing but a pack of cards? Now, this is not an exhortation to ignore the facts, especially uncomfortable or painful facts. You do not get to invent reality. Money does not happen because you wish hard enough. But it is valuable to understand that whether you are an entrepreneur, whether you're working for somebody else in a team, it's your game and you get to some degree to write the rules. So really think about how you can rewrite the rules so they serve you better. Obviously, always while staying within what is ethical and what is fair and just for other people. So I do not endorse making your own rules by, you know, cutting in front of somebody else or, you know, taking a shortcut that diminishes another person. That would not be cool. Principle number two, nothing matters more than people. So we are often taught, there's a maxim from a well-known business book, that we need to quit working in our businesses so we can work on our businesses. And that means that we create these processes and systems that make sure that the business doesn't depend on any one person. And that includes us, to make sure that we don't over-rely on that kind of super talented, you know, passionate person that Seth Godin calls a linchpin. And this idea is okay to a point, but it quickly kind of jumps to this idea that human resources, all that goody two-shoe stuff, is just something that you kind of paint onto the business as long as cash flow is good. And it's a luxury, right? If times are tight, then all that earthy, crunchy stuff has to go. And those irritating employees are lucky that they have a job at all. I thought Tony Hsieh had an interesting take on this in his book, Delivering Happiness, which was about that assumption and how it could easily have lost him control of Zappos. So when Tony Hsieh sold Zappos, he had a board of directors and they wanted to cash out, which is what happens in an acquisition. Your investors want to see some revenue. And the board had a hard time concealing their impatience with Tony Hsieh's little social experiments, which, you know, otherwise is sort of why they bought the company in the first place, right? The thing that every business publication described as groundbreaking culture of employee autonomy. Tony Hsieh was facing something that many business owners like him have faced, which is, you know, he got investors and then there was a board of directors that wanted the company to grow up, right? To quit being so naive. And Hsieh's employee-centric approach, which tended to be messy and tended to be complex, did not seem to be in line with that. And if you want to read how he navigated it, it's certainly interesting. His book is called Delivering Happiness, about that. It does have a pretty happy ending, as far as I know. No story has a happy ending forever, right? I thought it was interesting that Lee Iacocca, who was a legendary megalomaniac, once said, "You have to be good with people to work here. It turns out people are all we've got," end quote. So the principle, the business principle, is really that nothing is more valuable than people. The people who are your customers, the people who are your employees, the people who are your vendors, the people who are your colleagues, you know, and people who might co-promote your business or your content. You have to take care of people or the whole thing will fall apart. And this is one I have seen happen again and again and again. So naive business principle number three is that cluelessness can be an asset. And my favorite business role model for this is Richard Branson. And of course, these days, people usually write that as uber successful billionaire Sir Richard Branson. And I find it alternately fascinating and hilarious how much of Branson's business life has been spent doing things that were really actually pretty clueless. So when he was 15 years old, he decided to launch a national magazine instead of focusing on his studies. That is a pretty clueless thing to do. He decided to start a record store when he knew absolutely nothing about retail or the music business. Clueless. Then this was followed by a clueless decision to build a recording studio and a record label, going on to international divisions of Virgin Records. These are really clueless, almost insane business decisions. One of the cake toppers is his decision to start an airline. This is an incredibly complex and risky business. He knew nothing about it at all. I am in awe of his cluelessness for starting Virgin Airlines. He has often started businesses just because the name kind of made him smile. Two examples being Virgin Bride and Virgin Snow. Okay, that's pretty clueless. His diversification of the Virgin brand to more than 360 companies with no really readily apparent connection between them, no obvious synergies like Procter & Gamble has or like Coke has. This is often, you know, viewed as a clueless business decision. And his decision to create the world's first space line, which is an airline for outer space, that's not just clueless, that's actually like, that's loony. So Richard Branson is my favorite kind of naive business person. The kind who tries everything that sounds like it would be fun and then works his tail off to make it happen. And also he knows when to walk away from decisions that don't work out. I don't believe that Virgin Bride or Virgin Snow are still around. He's not afraid to pull the plug on something that just doesn't pan out. So today, you know, he's worth, I don't know, it's hard to tell how much you're worth when you're that wealthy. There are estimates something around the neighborhood of $5 billion. But for a lot of his career, he was generally considered to be pretty much an entertaining, naive flake. So having a clue sometimes is vastly overrated. You can do things that are clueless, in other words, that go against all the conventional wisdom, but you do need those ingredients of very hard work and a willingness to look really honestly at projects that are not working out and go ahead and walk away sooner rather than later. And maybe the most important overarching naive business principle is principle number 4, which is that naive does not mean stupid. So I'm actually not a fan of the expression you may have heard, leap and the net will appear, because it is demonstrably untrue. I can't tell you how many times I have seen it working out to leap and the floor will appear. So when I'm talking about maybe embracing some naive principles for business, it's more about rejecting unhelpful definitions of maturity. And it's more about brushing aside rules that don't make any sense. They either have quit making sense since an earlier time, or it's possible that they never really made as much sense as we think they did. Above all, naivete is about seeing a bigger picture. It's about being brave enough to ignore conventional advice that doesn't apply to you, that doesn't make you happy, and that very well might not even make you any money. But the way that I describe it or promote it, naivete is really not willful ignorance. It is not shutting your eyes to the difficult realities in front of your business. It makes a lot of room for curiosity and learning. And it makes a lot of room for experimentation and thoughtful observation. So being naive in the way that I'm defining it is not about choosing to be ignorance, but it is choosing to reject ruthlessness. It is choosing to reject jockeying for status. It is choosing to reject trashing your conscience in the name of some kind of paper success. So I would be curious if you have ever been criticized for being naive or being too nice to be in business, which is one that really makes me laugh, or for lacking some kind of macho blood and guts that you would need to succeed. So if you've ever faced this definition of yourself, if you wanted to swing by copyblogger.fm, and let us know in the comments. We will mock your enemies and issue you an official permission slip to continue being intelligently naive. And once again, if you want to join us, we have a 30-day writing challenge going. It is a self-paced challenge, so some folks will have already started by the time you hear this, and that is just awesome. You can start today or tomorrow. It is a self-paced deal. If you Google copyblogger boring content blues, you're going to find a post with all the details about what the challenge is and how you can join us in the Facebook group. Or you can swing by copyblogger.fm and I'll give you a link that goes right to that post. Don't worry that a couple of folks have already started. Play your own game and jump in when you're ready. That's awesome. I would love to see you over there. Take care and I'll catch you next time.